land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my father. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show. Hour number two of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. This opening day, November 15th, 2023 edition. Joining us on the line is Dr. Andrew Huff. He was in Sault Ste. Marie last night with the True North Patriots. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. I hope you got your buck already, so that's why you're on the show with me this morning.
Yes, it's been a really actually exciting 24 hours, and there's been some legislation that's introduced in the House of Representatives by Congressman Massey out of Kentucky for a complete ban of gain-of-function in the United States and globally, at least funded by the United States.
Yes, I noticed. I follow him on X on Twitter, and it was interesting, his post, and you reposted it and shared it as well. He says, my amendment to end gain-of-function research funding passed tonight. It's insane to use taxpayer dollars to create a blueprint for the next pandemic. First question, what is gain-of-function research?
So gain-of-function research is anytime a scientist engineers in a laboratory an infectious pathogen or a pathogen, an agent, a bacteria, a virus, a pyron, to increase its transmissibility, its virulence, its pathogenicity, basically making these infectious diseases more harmful to humans.
And in doing so, that would be something that would obviously increase its ability to spread. Would that be an accurate description?
Absolutely. So anytime they enhance the transmissibility, that's the key word that you're getting at here, or the environmental persistent, making it so that the agent can survive in a harsh environment like direct sunlight. So when they engineer these agents in this way, it makes it more likely that they'll cause an infectious disease outbreak or human-to-human transmission or sometimes human-to-animal transmission. That gets into the weeds a little bit. But really, they're making these diseases easier to transmit and spread.
And as a result, they could actually then use it, weaponize it, and basically use it kind of for perhaps military reasons or political reasons. There's all kinds of scheming that could go on behind some type of thing like this.
Well, it's actually, it's really not so much scheming. It's a matter of official U.S. government policy. And there's also a international treaty, a bioweapons convention that was signed in 1972 that prevents countries from engaging in biological weapons research. Now, the problem with that treaty from 1972 is that it permits gain-of-function research if the country that signed the treaty is trying to make what's called medical countermeasures, so vaccines, drugs, therapeutics to counter a pandemic or a biological attack. And that's the loophole in the law, and that's why the United States is engaged in this gain-of-function research, but it looks like it might be coming to an end soon.
Now, I have a question from that quote-unquote treaty you mentioned from 1972. Was it passed and approved in the United States Senate? Because only the Senate can approve treaties. Presidents cannot sign a treaty.
Actually, I don't know what the history is on if that was ratified by the Senate or not. I would assume so. It seemed like the government was actually operating more above board prior to 1985, at least in terms of these international treaties. And this was a big deal when it was passed. I was actually born in 1982. I'm a millennial. So much of this happened before I was born, so I don't know all the details of it.
Got it. Well, that's a little research you and I are going to have to dive into ourselves. We got a short break coming up, Andrew. Can you stay on through the break?
Yes, sir.
Very good. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Huff. He's written a book. He is a COVID whistleblower. We're going to talk about his book and a lot more. Short break. A word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Be a smart consumer this year. It's time for a new set of all-season tires. Or get a complete set of snow ice tires and winter wheels custom-sized to your vehicle. Bolt them on and store your summer tires and factory wheels for the winter. Stop by Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell Street in Petoskey and order yours today. Don't wait till everybody needs them. Stop into Royal Tire in Petoskey today and beat everyone else. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebels for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two, staying on through the break, is Dr. Andrew Huff. Again, he is a COVID whistleblower. He's written a book. We're going to talk about the book, but we're going to talk about more about this bill that Congressman Thomas Massey of Kentucky introduced and appears it has passed in the House. My question to you, Andrew, you know how Washington, D.C. works. Does this now have to go to the Democrat-controlled Senate? Do they have to pass it, or is this something that's going to be done through appropriations because appropriations start in the United States House of Representatives?
Well, that's a great question, Randy. So the next thing that happened after this bill was unanimously supported, there was another amendment offered by Representative Boebert out of Colorado. And that amendment actually stripped Equal Health Alliance, the organization that funded the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where I used to be a vice president, of about, I think it was $8 to $10 million. And that's a huge win on the appropriation side. And that sends a strong message to NIH and the other scientists that are involved in this type of research domestically and internationally that we're not going to be funding this work. My understanding is that this bill then will have to go off to the Senate for approval. But when you tend to, you know, if the House of Representatives unanimously supports this bill, you know, that's the body of the people. I think that this will likely pass the Senate. I bet that then even President Biden will probably sign this into law. The question is whether or not the executive branch will enforce it. And that's really my concern here, because there was a similar bill that passed related to this issue where the Senate unanimously voted to declassify and release all the information related to the origin of COVID-19 and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Biden signed the bill into law and then did not comply with his own law. So that's my primary concern here.
Got it. But I've always said for years, and I learned this from State Senator Jason Allen when I ran for the State Senate back in 2010, is if you cut the head of the snake off, the body dies. And the head, of course, is the money. And House appropriations bills and the actual budgeting process all starts in Congress in the United States House of Representatives. So if you are saying that this passed, and did you say unanimously? I mean, everybody in the House of Representatives voted for Massey's bill?
It was unanimous for whoever was present at the time on the House floor.
So Democrats voted for this as well.
I would assume so. I did not look at the roll call myself.
Wow. I did not see that portion in his post. But if that's the case, and this has got bipartisan support, then the U.S. Senate, like you said, they're going to automatically have to pass this thing, and Biden's going to have to sign it, or he's going to have to answer to the people.
Or it's an override. I mean, that's a simple override vote in the House or the Senate. So I think that this is going to pass. I think the funding is going to dry up. My only concern is, you know, if for some reason this falls apart, there are other ways that academic institutions and companies can conduct this gain of function research by playing the shell game with their accounting. And that's the kind of thing that used to take place when I worked at EcoHealth Alliance. And a specific example here is, say that you receive a grant or a contract for $5 million. Not all that $5 million goes to the project. There's overhead, and there's a profit margin within that $5 million. Let's say there's $1 million left over at the end of the project. Well, the company is then at free will, or the academic institution or university, to roll that $1 million over into any project that they like, including gain-of-function research. So that's why we really need a law banning this type of research in the United States. And not all gain-of-function research is bad. I want to point that out. Some gain-of-function research is used to make things like insulin. I'm specifically talking about the enhancement of pathogens which can cause pandemics.
Right. Yes, specifically. And this is laid out in his bill being specific to that. It's laser-focused. I've seen other news blurbs that came out. He didn't make this, you know, with a lot of ambiguity. He's laser focused specifically on this gain of function research. And they were very specific, I believe, in the bill. So like you say, this is either you're for this or you're against it. I mean, it's a line in the sand kind of issue. Right, Andrew?
Yes, this is very black and white. And these are the two sides of the argument. So and this argument actually goes back to about 2008, 2009, when this field really took off at the University of Wisconsin, where they were working on highly pathogenic avian influenza and trying to make it human transmissible in ferrets. That's when the debate really took off. So one camp is of the opinion that by conducting this gain-of-function research, you can get ahead of nature, evolution, and then make a medical countermeasure, a vaccine or a drug to counter this thing that you engineer in the laboratory. My problem with that logic is you have to believe like you're God, and you can predict what how a disease or a pathogen will evolve. And no scientist in human history has ever done this successfully. And it's a lot of hubris, and you have a huge ego to believe this. And there's huge money behind all this, because then the end result of this are new pharmaceutical products, whether that be vaccines, therapeutics. There could be a lot of different things that come out of it. Now, the other side of the camp, which I've been in my entire career since I was a PhD student, is that we shouldn't be conducting gain-of-function research simply because, one, we can't predict what evolution is, okay? The second is, by conducting the gain-of-function research, we're actually increasing the risk or a probability of a pandemic, because humans make accidents in the laboratory all the time. There are numerous laboratory accidents happening in these facilities. And that's just the nature of the work. You talk to any medical doctor, any veterinarian, any field epidemiologist that's been out collecting samples, accidents happen. You accidentally stick yourself with a needle. You know, animal kicks, you get hit. You don't doff or don your equipment properly. You accidentally touch your face after touching a sample. These kind of things happen. And when you're working with pathogens, viruses that are aerosolized, you can't see them. You don't know that the leak has even occurred until people start getting sick. And that's exactly what happened with SARS-CoV-2 and COVID in Wuhan, China.
And that's exactly what your book is about in describing what happened. You're saying, now I have a question for you, because I haven't fully, I got to be honest, I haven't read chapter 20 yet. I've been crazy busy out doing business, but here's my question. Was the accident or the ability for this virus, the Wuhan virus, the China virus that Donald Trump calls it, I call it, I've refused to call it COVID-19. Was it a planned breakout, or was it truly like a laboratory accident, like you just described? How many ways it could have gotten out of that lab, in your opinion? Which scenario is applicable?
That's a great question, Randy. So in the book, I actually discuss the six or seven different scenarios which are plausible. In my opinion, all the evidence suggests that it was a laboratory leak. It was an accident. The index patient in China from late August, early September 2019, was likely a master's student who's been since disappeared. And one of the things I discuss in the book is that there's intelligence that the Chinese start panic buying laboratory and biocontainment equipment when they discover the leak 2 to 3 weeks later after this person becomes infected. And these diseases spread so fast. It only takes 3 to 4 days after the leak for the disease to spread across the planet. And that's at a small number, but if you look at what they call the R-naught, or the transmission rate of this disease, it's around 2. So for every one case, there's 2 more cases. So at some point, you hit exponential growth. And this in the case of COVID, it probably hit exponential growth by like October or November of 2019. So, you know, a lot of people think that, well, this was an intentional act to undermine the United States. The Chinese did this to make money. This was to get at President Trump. So I'll point out a couple of things. So first of all, there is no better way to destroy your own country than by releasing an infectious disease like this in your own country. So I don't think that the Chinese released it intentionally. It would be suicide from a national security perspective, which I've worked in this area. That's just – it doesn't make sense on any level, because you wouldn't do that unless you already had a vaccine or a countermeasure to give to your own military, your own population. And if you actually look at the economics behind China releasing this intentionally, China's GDP goes down just like the United States does.
Sure.
after it's released. So just that type of evidence, plus the intelligence we have, that indicates it was an accident. And then there's one more. I'll throw the science on top of this. So if you run a backwards regression, a least squares of the number of cases that were present at any point in the future, say like March, May of 2020, and you regress that backwards in time, you get an emergence time point of late August or early September 2019. So Event 201, the World Military Games. So going to Event 201, everyone said, well, it's the pandemic. Well, no, actually, I believe that the U.S. government knew that the disease was spreading instead of the Chinese. So Event 201, they're trying to get everyone on the same page as how to respond to the lab leak. And the World Military Games was an event which was like the Olympics for military athletes that occurred in mid-October of 2019 in Wuhan. And what's interesting about this is that a number of the athletes that go to Wuhan, one report, the entire city's locked down. So do you think China would have their city locked down unless they knew there was a disease spreading?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's one thing. The other thing is they're taking everyone's temperature. They're wearing Hyvex suits, which are the personal protective equipment to prevent fluid transfer onto your body. And they have all the athletes isolated. At the event, there's a giant coronavirus on display on the field.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's crazy. And a number of these athletes then all go back to their home countries, back to their military bases, back to their ships.
Yep.
And they report – they come down with pneumonia-like illnesses. And the Department of Defense, the U.S. and our allies have the best infectious disease surveillance systems in healthcare in the world. So the idea that the military didn't catch wind of this, or the intelligence services, is just asinine. It's impossible,
right,
in my mind.
Absolutely.
So this was them trying to get everyone on the same page.
What is the title of your book, slowly?
The Truth About Wuhan: How I Discovered the Biggest Lie in History. And you can get that at Amazon, Target, Walmart, any online retailer.
And I'm pulling it up right now on Amazon Prime, The Truth About Wuhan: How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History by Dr. Andrew G. Huff, December 6, 2022. And just so you know, Prime is offering it for $17.89. But you also have the ability to download this on Audible. It's only $5.95. You can listen to it on Kindle for $4.99. But people can also get an autographed copy through your website. Explain to people how they can get that autographed copy from you.
Sure. You go to my website, which is andrewhuff.com. Click on the Books tab, and then you'll see a Stripe button for The Truth About Wuhan. You click it. You order it. And if you want any type of custom inscription, you can send me a message, and I'll inscribe it as you wish.
Excellent, excellent. Greatly appreciated. Because this book needs to go viral, people. And you have been on all kinds of shows talking about the book, and I believe you've even had communication with Congressman Thomas Massie over his gain-of-function funding bill that got introduced. And Andrew, we got to have you on the show more often, man. This is interesting stuff. My phone is blowing up with all kinds of text messages, but I know you're crazy busy. We've got to let you go.
Well, before I go, I just want to thank True North Patriots for having me last night, and especially Melanie Greenfield. She's been a true warrior in helping me get my message out to the UP.
Absolutely. And we'll have you on the show more often, and keep in touch with you, brother. You stay safe out there.
I don't need safety.
You don't need it. You got it. All right, brother. I understand. Dr. Andrew Huff. Again, andrewhuff.com. Get his book. We'll be right back.
Thank you.